This week, we come to you with the news that a coach has resigned in the SEC. I wonder if that's ever happened before. Athletic director and a coach in back-to-back weeks leaving the stage in the same conference. Bobby Johnson has decided that he will forego the 2010 season as far as coaching is concerned, and he will go home and, like I said a minute ago, spend more time with his family. And he said nothing about any health concerns. He said nothing about anyone in his family having anything out of the ordinary as far as health is concerned. He just basically said, you know, enough's enough, and he turned it over to Robbie Caldwell, an assistant on his staff, and he's going to be the head coach. Now, of course, that's a transition for the players. The appropriate time to leave somewhere usually, this is how it's usually done, at the end of the season or after a little bit of deliberation time, the coach, I mean, you give a month or so, but not right before the season starts in July. I mean, we're less than a month away from many fall camps beginning. Jacob Bunn and David Sears with you right now. David, you played at Alabama. You know what it's like. You had a similar situation happen to you. What's it like from a player's perspective?
It's really weird. With the Price situation, we knew something was up. We weren't sure what. And then, of course, you know, we find out on talk radio, message boards. I think this is around the time Bama Online, Tider Insider started getting really big. And despite what they say, coaches tell you not to read that stuff. You read it. You want to know what's going on. So we knew something was up. Coach Price was staying away from us. Or I don't know if he was staying away from us or if he was being kept away from us. And we knew something was going to happen. We knew we were told about the Saturday meeting. So we go as a group to show unity behind the coach. We went to the Board of Trustees meeting and made a representation of the players. And it was, I believe it was Brody that went to represent the team. And then they made their decision. We knew something was bad because they told us all to go back to the Malmore Athletic Facility. And they put us in the team room, and we watched Dr. Witt say that Coach Price had been let go. And then we watched that, and they told Wesley, Brody, and Shawd, Wesley Britt, Shawd Williams, and Brody Crowell to head over there, and they were going to be part of the press conference. And it was pretty shocking. And then we had all the rumors of who's going to be our next head coach. Are we just going to do an interim coach? And some players wanted to try to get Coach Kynes. Okay. Coach Kynes to be the interim coach. And so we had to adjust. The offensive players got a new playbook that they would work on during pass skeleton, during voluntary stuff. Special teams changed a little bit, and we got some new calls for when we were doing our practice, which is just, right. You know, crimson was blocked to the right, white was a block to the left.
Sure.
So it's real difficult stuff. But the team, it was interesting. It kind of divided the team. Some people thought that he should have gone because your head coach isn't supposed to do stuff like that. And some people didn't want to change because they liked Coach Price. He was he was more like your cool uncle mm-hmm. than a head football coach. And I think part of the problem was we had just gone through the DeBose thing where they held on to DeBose after his incident with the secretary, and they didn't want to have a repeat of that.
Sure.
So yeah, because of DeBose's mistake, Price is gone, and it was just turmoil. I mean, the 2003 season was really rough. We played horribly. There was
probation too. I mean, there wasn't an incentive at the end of the year.
Well, Hawaii. We got to go to Hawaii. That was our incentive.
Yeah, and of course you set it up. Mike Price was hired the coach at Alabama in 2003 after the 2002 season, after Dennis Franchione left in the middle of the night to go to Texas A&M, and of course, he was fired in May of 2000. Is that correct, May?
That is right.
Okay,
it was May. Because it was the week before finals. It was dead week.
And decided he would rather be the recreational director at Ari's Angels, which is where you can find him now.
He went to rehab. Now he's at UTEP, where he's on the hot seat at UTEP.
He actually had a pretty good couple seasons at UTEP, and I guess it's mellowed now, and the fans are worn out with him. Yeah, because you're right. There is some dissatisfaction with the job he's doing at UTEP, but
it was just It was interesting. It's the most traumatic time of Alabama football, and I was fortunate enough to be there for 4 years of it.
What side were you on? Did you want to keep him, or did you think he needed to go?
I thought he needed to go.
Yeah.
I could step back and look at the situation and see what had happened with Dubose. Because when 2001, when the locker room was still kind of wild, it wasn't very disciplined. And I think Fran started getting that discipline in 2002 with the hold the rope when the sanctions came down. He united us as a team, and we were doing really well. And then when he left, it caused us to be in turmoil, and it just got worse. And then we never really got that discipline back until some guy named Saban showed up.
Yeah, but last week we, of course, had the Tennessee
bar brawl
involving several Tennessee players. One, Darren Miles, who was kicked off the team. Then, of course, over the weekend it was found out that Georgia had two players arrested on alcohol-related charges.
How smart are they? Your AD just got fired because he was a DUI. They fired their AD. What do you think they were going to do to you?
Damon did it. Who knows? He may have been in the car, too. But how much is it an influence on these players? I mean, Price, you see what he did, and your stand was you think he ought to go because how does that say it's okay for the players to do this now because Price, the leader, so to speak, has done it?
It's a sticky situation because the players went to bat for Dubose when Dubose had the incident in 99. So the players felt like he owed them stuff. They felt like they were owed something by him, so they didn't have to do all the hard stuff. It was a bad situation, and it just continued to get worse because there was no strong leadership. And I think Georgia right now is lacking strong leadership in the athletic department and from Rick.
I agree.
How many of these incidents are we going to have there? I mean, he's had at least 30 players arrested during his tenure.
He has, and surprisingly, he still claims that his program is clean. That's the perception he likes to build over there, that he's a good guy and he keeps a clean program. And, you know, they may not win a national championship, but at least they do it the right way. Well, this is obviously not the right way when you have two Georgia players arrested and Dontavius Jackson was a backup running back and he transferred.
It's a really bad situation. When you don't have strong leadership, it affects everything. And it starts at the top with your athletic director, and then it's supposed to go to the football coach. Well, at Alabama, it's kind of the football coach is the athletic director, and he's very strong-willed, doesn't put up with garbage.
Right.
I think that is something Georgia is going to have to get. They're going to need a coach that doesn't take guff from anybody and will just flat out be a disciplinarian. I'm not saying you have to be draconian with your discipline, but you need to have someone, you have clear boundaries instead of flexible boundaries. Flexible boundaries will only get you into trouble.
Switching gears kind of back to the Bobby Johnson situation, of course, he led Furman to the 1AA championship in 2001. 2008 was Vanderbilt's first bowl game in 25 years. You know, I've studied the schedule, and obviously they still have the same staff in place, all except for the head coach is not there, which is a big part because he's your leader. But I don't see any way in this world Vanderbilt even approaches six wins this season. And looking at their schedule, they'll be lucky if they get two.
Who's their non-conference? Wake Forest, Northwestern. Do they have any easy games?
The only game that you could call easy would be at Eastern Michigan. But again, that's on the road. You have at UConn, Northwestern at home, Wake Forest at home. So the only game that you could call remotely easy would be Eastern Michigan. And that's on the road. Mac.
How do you end up going to a Mac school if you're in the SEC?
That's a good question. That's a whole other topic for another day.
I can understand a Big East school, UConn.
Right.
But a Mac school?
It hadn't always been the rule of thumb. You play home and homes with other teams that are in BCS conferences, not necessarily the ones that are not in BCS conferences. I mean, Vanderbilt, they are the lowest in the SEC, but even they can get home and home with a Duke.
Go with the smart schools like they're doing with Wake Forest and Northwestern. I mean, Wake Forest has become their perennial end of the year game now, since they no longer finish up with Tennessee.
I don't think they'll gain anything. What do they gain by going to Eastern Michigan, except for a possible loss at this point?
You never know. But there's just going to be – that school is already – it's tough to win there. I know that. Everybody knows that. But you should be able to find you a coach that'll be able to get you 6-7 wins a year at that school. Because you're bottom-tier SEC school, which means you should be able to knock off a few middle-tier teams, right, and then schedule some patsies. I mean, you're not going to go to the BCS championship at Vanderbilt. Go for your 1AA school and then play some other schools, you know.
Bobby Johnson lost 26 games in his career at Vanderbilt by 7 or less.
You know what? Close only counts in hand shoes, horse grenades, and nuclear bombs, man.
But if you're the coach at Vanderbilt, it counts. I mean, he had one of the best deals you could possibly get. He shows up to work, just beat me down, just extend my contract. I mean, they're not going to fire him.
You mean the intramural department is not going to fire him?
Right, whatever it is. They don't have an athletic department like everybody else. But Bobby Johnson, he did do a good job. He did a good job, I guess, compared to Woody Woodenhofer and other previous Vanderbilt coaches. But, I mean, let's not overdo it. I think if somebody got in there who really could instill some, well, recruit first and foremost, and get some decent athletes, because, I mean, it is an SEC school, then you could get 4 non-conference wins every year and then maybe knock off a team or two in the SEC and get to a bowl consistently, more consistently than just 1 year.
The SEC has enough bowls where, as long as you make,
that's right,
as long as you can go 6-6 or 7-5, you should be able to do that. I mean, I just don't understand why it's just a culture of failure.
Mississippi State, I mean, even they went to a bowl maybe in the same year, 2008, a couple years ago, they played in the Liberty Bowl.
2007. Because they fired, remember, Kroom bombed in 2008, and that's why we had Mullen last year. 2007 is when they went to the Liberty Bowl and beat some CUSA school.
Well, perhaps that's why Bobby Johnson got fired. Maybe he got croomed.
He got croomed.
Or Alabama fans would say processed. Michigan has had a $226 million renovation. I found this very interesting. They renovated their stadium for $226 million, much to Alabama fans' dismay. They, you know, will not be the largest stadium in the country with the new renovation in Tuscaloosa.
We're still third or fourth largest.
It's going to be big. And I dare say, I've spoken to people I've never watched a game in the Big House in Michigan Stadium, but I've spoken to people who have, who say it is not as loud as you think. Now, this new bowl may make it loud because they installed skyboxes up in the top, so it may, you know, increase the noise or reflects off the skyboxes, but 109,901 will be the new seat count.
I think it's kind of like the Rose Bowl, where it's built in and you walk in and it's down instead of
built up. It's just they just say it's not loud.
Well, I think part of the reason is they got a lot of blue bloods there that
don't know how to cheer.
You know, they're snobby little Michigan fans that they're too good to cheer. And then the only time they'll get up loud is when they're playing the Buckeyes that have owned them for the past, 5 years?
Forever, it seems like. And we talked last week about Mark Richt needing to beat Florida. Well, I think Rich Rodriguez needs to beat Ohio State.
Rich Rod needs to go undefeated. He's out this year regardless. Les Miles is bolting. It'll take Les Miles and
Les Miles is bolting if he doesn't get fired first. If he doesn't drown in a pot of jambalaya.
Won't be jambalaya, they'll drown him in. But so what do you think, change subjects, what do you think about Hottie and Toddy?
You're talking about the Ole Miss mascot?
The Ole Miss mascots are now Hottie and Toddy, two Muppet-like creatures.
I think there needs to be an NCAA investigation into that.
I'm disappointed. I wanted to see the land shark, the Ole Miss land sharks, because when I think of a shark, I think of Oxford, Mississippi. I think that's just a horrible situation. I mean, come on. They're the rebels.
Oh, they are. And, well, I mean, we could go into that, but they are the rebels. They've been the rebels.
I'm disappointed. Why can't they stay the rebels? Admiral Akbar didn't get it. That's who I would
have voted for. I agree. I thought that was pretty fitting.
It's a trap.
Hottie, Toddy.
Hottie and Toddy.
Hottie and Toddy. Is that like the other male and female gators at Florida?
Alice and Al.
Al, yeah.
Well, there's Big Al and Big Alice at Alabama,
really?
Too.
Yeah. Never run into Big Alice.
Big Alice, can we get her on the show? She only comes out at homecoming. Yeah, there's Big Alice. Albert is the Florida Gator, and I think it's Alice is the female Gator.
Big Alice, if you're listening, call in.
Have you never seen Big Alice?
I've never seen
Big
Alice.
She's got big eyelashes and is a total female looking elephant. She's got a bow on the head.
I've never heard the pleasure. She wears a dress. How about that?
Google it.
Well, I will. My computer seems to be off right now, but I will Google it. Vanderbilt, and you have a Commodore.
He's on a ship. He's on a boat.
Ryan Mallett says his foot is okay, and me personally, I'll get your opinion. I think he's irreplaceable. If Arkansas,
so goes Mallett, so goes the season.
Oh, my goodness.
If that foot is not 100%, then he is going to tank that Arkansas season, and Petrino's seat will start to heat up a little bit after two mediocre seasons.
Well, I mean, they could always hire a Houston Nutt back.
This is the year I'd be afraid of Houston Nutt, because they have low expectations. Houston Nutt does best when he has low expectations. Mm-hmm. He's Tommy Tuberville.
There you go.
They have high expectations.
And I agree. And the same
tank
can be said about Mark Richt.
Yeah.
The only problem is this year.
Because I don't think they were favored in 02 or 05 when they ended up winning the SEC.
The only difference is this year, I mean, he may not be favored. He may not be number one in the country coming in, but he is under the big-time spotlight. And I mean, I don't see Mark Richt. I can see Mark Richt getting 8 wins, yes. I don't see Mark Richt keeping his job, because I think what he needs to do to keep his job is beat Florida. I mean, it's basically a one-game season, and Georgia Tech.
And Tennessee. They got embarrassed by Tennessee last year.
Tennessee better be worried about UT Martin.
Wow. You don't even think they'll take UT Martin?
Well, I don't know. UT Martin, don't they have a strong secondary? be a 9-3 game. So that's basically what it is we're 7 weeks away from college football season beginning next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
SEC Media Days, baby.
Alabama and Florida. Why would they? A little strange. The conference would schedule Alabama and Florida on the same day. Why use up all your star power? I mean, you're going to have, I think they've called in the FBI to make sure the Hoover area is secure, because Nick Saban and Urban Meyer will be in the same hotel.
Well, I think you want to lead off strongly.
Well, that's strong.
I think the last day is Richt and Miles, so you've got two hot seat coaches last day.
What do they teach you, though, in, I think, is it theater, when you have, a series of acts? What's the first thing they teach you? Second best act goes first, best act last.
Mm-hmm. So, but they may have worked that out for ESPNU's coverage or something. ESPNU's live at all media days.
That's
so
true. I forgot everything's
ESPN,
on the tube.
ESPN is the bread and butter right now, getting that multi-billion-dollar deal from them. You got to keep them happy.
Well, that's true. No sense in turning that over. But, yeah, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban on Wednesday. Auburn fans can go out on Friday, as I believe Chizik.
Have you ever been to Media Days?
I have not.
It's very impressive. I was a little disappointed when I went there at first, because I was expecting this massive hall, but it's really just a bunch of things. But it's so cool, because you're just really intimate with the coaches. It's really neat. It stinks that you only have a set time. Everybody has a set time in each media room, and you're not supposed to go to the different media rooms. You're supposed to stay in yours.
Right.
Like, there's a radio media room where if you're a radio host, they've got a malt box, and you just put in your thing to record it and try to dump it in between dump it into your computer between coaches coming in. The only downside is the reporters don't have a mic, and it's only the players and coaches that have mics, so they don't always hear your questions well. I got a death stare. I got a death stare from Lane Kiffin last year when I asked, I was like, "Are you confident in Crompton as your quarterback?" He just looked at me and was just,
"Well, yeah, interesting." The other day, Urban Meyer was on with Paul Feinbaum here in town on the Paul Feinbaum Radio Network. And Paul asked him about Lane Kiffin.
That was a brilliant comment by Urban.
And Urban just said, "Listen, I don't want to be on the front cover of USA Today tomorrow, so I'll just leave that."
Brilliant response by Urban. It does say a lot that he actually knows the new guy. He's like, I respect Derek Dooley.
Yeah, the new guy. New kid.
He called him the new kid, but he actually knows Derek Dooley's name. So
I know him, and it's such a pleasure to coach against Vince Dooley. So that's where we are. And, yes, I will actually be out at Media Days a little bit this week, so that'll be a good first experience for myself. And then, of course, in 7 weeks, we'll finally get to some college football games. Defending national champions, Alabama Crimson Tide opening up with San Jose State. Auburn opening up with Arkansas State.
Can you say one of those is going to be pay-per-view?
No, my goodness.
I guarantee you Alabama is probably the 11 o'clock ESPN. No question about it. It's either that or it's going to be ESPNU.
LSU does open up with North Carolina in the Georgia Dome, so that is
Chick-fil-A
probably
kickoff classic.
The best game. Although North Carolina, they might not want to show up down here. They might not want to show up anywhere. It came out yesterday that the North Carolina program is being investigated by the NCAA, and
they're saying it's Reggie Bush type involvement. I was reading one of the sporting blogs that I follow. And I followed
– it was mine. It was bunsports.com.
It was bunsports.com. It was Pat 40 of ESPN, and he's saying it's yes. Reggie Bush-type stuff going on with the football team.
I mean, poor Butch Davis. I mean, at least Kiffin.
Do you think I think he may encourage that, though, because he had sanctions at Miami. Now he's got sanctions at
– But at least Kiffin – or I say Kiffin. At least USC – can trade a championship trophy. I mean, North Carolina, they're not going to trade anything.
It's basketball season, 365 days a year.
365 years a day. You had it right the first time. We'll keep you informed on that. We'll be back next week as we continue looking forward to the 2010 Southeastern Conference football season. David, thanks for helping us out.
Very welcome.
Being on, giving us some great insight from a player's perspective. David Sears, of course, played from what years?
01 to 04.
At the University of Alabama.
The fun time.
Under about 15 head coaches. But it was fun.
You gotta love it. Recruited by Dubose, then under Fran, then under Price, then under Shula.
Just installing the systems.
Yep. Luckily, special team doesn't involve that much thinking. You just got to go with the blocking scheme and
Nick Saban will be on with us next week.
Joe Paterno.
Have you called him yet?
I did.
Okay.
He's good. We've got him and Joe Pa lined up.
Good. We'll
talk about their big September 11th matchup.
I know we're up against it here, and we're about to end, but how about that? Joe Paterno coached against Bear Bryant and is now coaching against Nick Saban.
That's awesome.
I mean, that is some serious longevity. Think about all the things he's seen and done.
Joe Paul's a good coach, and if they have a quarterback, they have a shot at being a good team this year, but we'll see.
Well, in all seriousness, I think they will hinder Alabama's offensive productivity a little bit because their defense is usually pretty good, and their linebacking core is always exceptional. But in the end, I don't see them scoring enough points to compete with Alabama. I think Alabama wins the day. Something like a 21-10 or something along that
line. You think double digits? It's going to be a nationally televised game on ESPN.
Oh, I know. This is Jacob Bunn. We'll see you next week.